Speaking at the Aspen Security Forum, Raj Day, the NSA's general counsel, argued strenuously that each of the programs Snowden disclosed in his leaks to reporters were legal and that the agency has done nothing improper. But he says aside from the damage the disclosures did to the NSA's ability to collect intelligence on legitimate overseas targets, they also may have damaged the nation's ability to move the ball forward on improving its own cybersecurity posture.
You know, over the last few years, we've had senior officials ringing the alarm bell about as significantly as possible. You had former Secretary of Defense Panetta warning of a potential cyber Pearl Harbor. You have the chairman of the CISI, the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying cyber is perhaps the greatest threat we have going forward. You have the Director of National Intelligence testifying at least 2 years in a row with cyber at the top of the worldwide threat assessment. If that discussion is set back because it's so dependent on public-private cooperation as a result of misinformed and ill-informed dialogue on some of the Snowden issues, I think that would be an unfortunate consequence that I would characterize as harm.
Specifically, Day and other officials are worried about the prospect for potential reforms to existing law that they say are needed in order to allow the government and the private sector to share more information with each other about cyber threats. Legal changes like that have already been a tough sell in Congress, but the fear is that the Snowden revelations created a perception that U.S. intelligence agencies and U.S. IT companies are already engaged in unsavory relationships, like agreements to install backdoors into software or allow intelligence agencies access into private data centers. Scott Charney, the corporate vice president for trustworthy computing at Microsoft, says beliefs like that are completely false, but nonetheless they are widely held, including among his company's foreign government customers.
Suddenly you have most of the world saying, we don't know that we can trust you with our data because you're in bed with the government. We have customers overseas, as you might suspect. Germany is a good case in point, where they're going, we were thinking about signing up for your cloud services. We're slowing down that train. And you open markets for foreign competitors. Deutsche Telekom has said, we're going to create a German-only cloud. And that way German customers will choose us over these American things. And they see it as a wedge opportunity. And so on one hand, you see things sometimes slowing down. The second thing is, for governments and large customers, they have account managers. They talk to us. So when a customer you're negotiating with says, we're slowing down this deal because of these allegations, you know. But we have a consumer business. We have 450 million Hotmail users, Outlook users. How many of those people are moving away from American products and services because of these allegations? Do you think they're calling me up to discuss it first?
For those problems, Charney faults U.S. intelligence agencies themselves, inasmuch as they did not, in his view, consider the consequences of a breakdown in trust when they designed the programs in the first place.
When you listen to how the process can be improved, never do you hear the government say, as part of the national security calculus, the competitiveness of American industry is part of national security. You don't hear that. What you hear is national security means collecting things that the government needs. And when you say and come out and say, we followed all the rules, Americans have been protected, you have to understand that the American IT industry is globally dominant. More than half our revenue comes from overseas, and it has a huge impact on whether 5, 10, 15 years from now, we will still be the dominant and most competitive industry. And if you believe that our ability to compete effectively is important to national security, where was that built into the calculus? The answer is it wasn't. I suspect because the government said we don't have to build it into the calculus, because these programs will never be exposed. But they have been.
The current environment of distrust, Charney says, has created some other legal problems for his industry. He says there's a very consistent meme among foreign customers that even if American companies aren't hand in glove with U.S. intelligence agencies, those agencies can just force American firms to secretly do their bidding via court orders. And Charney says the government's behavior in some recent cases is not doing much to help dispel that notion.
We are now in litigation in the Southern District of New York, contesting a government order that would require us to turn over data from an Irish data center. The U.S. government says, well, you're a U.S. company. If we give you an order here, you need to pull the data from wherever in the world it is. Okay, that's a U.S. perspective. Let's say the U.S. wins. Doesn't that mean in every country where we do business, a foreign government can give us an order to pull the mail of American citizens into their country? Reciprocity is hell in foreign affairs. When I chaired the G8 subgroup, I said to all the countries right away, I have a very clear principle. I should be able to do whatever I want to you, but you cannot do it back. And they didn't buy it. And so, you know, as the government works through these things, an American company, what we have to do is make sure we're listening to our customers and not creating that perception that we're in bed.
The NSA's Raj Day says he agrees with Charney that the damage of the Snowden leaks extends beyond intelligence capabilities and well into the realm of trust. And while he maintains that everything his agency has done was above board, he acknowledges there is room for improvement.
Like any agency, NSA isn't perfect, and I wouldn't suggest that the legal and policy framework we have in place is necessarily perfect. Two places where I think we can make improvements, and this is in line with what the president announced in January, and some of the reforms we've undertaken, where I think we need to have a wider aperture on how we think about risk for intelligence activities, specifically the risk of indiscriminate illegal exposure of intelligence activities. Two, I think we also need to think hard about how to bring the American people into the dialogue about digital privacy. The system, the compromise that's been in place since 1978, clearly seems to be insufficient in terms of public involvement in how we think about these issues.
Day insists the impact of the Snowden leaks to U.S. intelligence gathering capabilities was substantial, even if the IC hasn't been able to clearly articulate in what ways their abilities were degraded. The reason they haven't, he says, is that to reveal what the NSA has lost would only do further damage. And because of that, he has counseled agency officials not to talk in any detail about the specific effects of the leaks. But Robert Litt, the general counsel for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, says one main consequence is that foreign intelligence targets have begun to change their behavior.
A week or so ago, I was getting briefed on the activities of a particular dangerous terrorist group, seriously dangerous. And the young woman from the CIA who was doing the briefing, in the course of the briefing, mentioned that this group used to communicate using a particular form of communications, one of the ones that had been disclosed. But after the disclosures, they said to each other, we have to stop using this, it's too dangerous, and now we don't know what they're saying to each other. So that it is just simply inaccurate to say there's not an impact. Will this result in dead bodies? I don't know. We'll probably never be able to tell. But it is definitely true that there are people who we want to know what they're saying, who we don't know what they're saying because of these disclosures.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.